station, with funny regulation. Surfing without a sail, lined up around a jail, playing without a bill, playing without a thrill. 13 deadly warning, 15 safety warning. Review regulate, but don't we create? Protect and disguise, react to voluntize, react out to the main, the noise that parades. The town has dropped the crew, locked onto that shit crew. We're getting hit in line, there's nothing left behind. Deploy catalysts, persuade empathy, engaging chemistry, pushing down the envelope, protecting ice stones, including the glaciers, but since no glaciers, hung out without a scare, driving without a spare, banking without a spill, climbing a higher hill, lifting safety warning, lifting safety warning, review and regulate, but then we create, my death we size, we act all the choice, we act out to delay, a life that's the right.
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. I am Simon Welton. Coming up straight away is the White Noise Show, followed by, as always, the White Noise After Show, where this week I'll be joined by Connor Neckleput for a little chit-chat. Also, we'll have lots of music, as we always do. Got lots of brand new stuff for you tonight, so come and listen for some interesting new tunes. And just before we start the White Noise Show, I always like to remind you, you can keep up with the White Noise Show all throughout the week on Facebook at White Noise UBC, at Twitter at White Noise UBC, and of course you can check out the best of White Noise at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, it is time for White Noise.
Warning! The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Public Transit, there to encourage you to work harder so you no longer require it. First up tonight, someone is booking a holiday.
Oh there, how may I help you?
I'd like to book a vacation, please. Somewhere hot and cheap.
Let me take a look. I've got a special right now. 2 weeks, lots of sun.
Where is it?
The sun.
That's a bit too hot for me. I have very fair skin. What about somewhere historical?
Oh, how about this one? 1 week, all-inclusive, very historical.
Where's that?
Auschwitz. The tour is extra, but you do get complimentary showers. Not the bad kind.
I've already been there.
Oh, fair enough.
Maybe somewhere cultural.
I've got 10 days in Tiananmen Square, still available, and they've gotten rid of all the tanks.
Let's put that in the maybe pile.
Okay. How about a tour in the Amazon focused on the rubber trade? You get to see all the spots where European colonists committed genocide on the indigenous populations. And it comes with a free hat.
I don't wear hats.
I know. How about 2 weeks in Spokane, Washington? It's hot, it's cheap, and it's very quiet.
Why is it so quiet?
Because it's shit.
Honestly, I don't really like any of these options.
I know. There's just nowhere to go traveling, is there? I mean, it's not what it's all cracked up to be. You know what? You should just stay here. You could buy the two of us a lovely meal. Wouldn't that be a better way to spend your money?
I guess you're right.
Well, I'm just here to help. That's why I always book my holidays online at www.spokanevacations.com. Next up tonight, someone is bragging. I was the best singer at karaoke last night.
It was at an old people's home.
Some of those dudes can croon. I can also eat an entire 30-ounce steak in one sitting.
Yes, but not without vomiting on me.
That's not my fault. You're just always in the splash zone.
Yeah, because you vomit like you're in The Exorcist.
Well, yeah, I've got excellent neck swivel. My grandfather was a barn owl. Did you know I graduated first in my class?
Yes, from kindergarten. Very impressive.
Did you know I can also defeat Super Smash Brothers on the hardest setting?
Yes, you're very dedicated. So dedicated, you missed my father's funeral.
Well, you've seen one funeral, you've seen them all. I'm also the best lover I've ever been with.
You and your hand must be so happy together.
Well, we run hot and cold. Gloves help. Ooh, I can't forget either. I am the smartest person in my family.
You're an only child.
Well, I'm the slimmest person in my group.
Well, yeah, but it's a Weight Watchers group.
You know, it's just sometimes hard to take in how brilliant I am.
Okay, wow, seriously. What is up with you and the bragging?
What? It's Pride Week. When I first heard about Pride, I got really excited about dressing up as a lion. Next up tonight, Elvis is back to Save America. From the thread of people who don't agree with everything they say.
Mr. Presley, your next mission, if you choose to accept it, is to destroy a Russian pipeline control center on the coast of the Black Sea.
Right on. Time to take out some commie bastards.
Well, they're not really communists anymore. Actually, scratch that. They've never been communists. More just leftists with a thirst for weapons.
Really? So the entire country is left-handed?
No, but don't worry yourself with the details. American foreign affairs has never been about understanding the subtleties of foreign politics. It's about blowing things up.
Right on. So what kind of explosives do I get to use this time for my little act of diplomacy?
You'll be equipped with enough TNT to kill a very evasive roadrunner.
When I'm done, that pipeline will just be a hunk of burning love.
Well, do this right, and there shouldn't be any suspicious minds.
Are you lonesome tonight?
No, Elvis, I'm fine. Concentrate on the mission.
Sorry, I'm just as bored as Bill Cosby in a healthy relationship. How much further till I'm at the target?
You should be getting pretty close. Can you see the shore yet?
Actually, I think I can. Is it that thing with a lot of men with AK-47s on it?
For your sake, hopefully not.
I'm gonna go say hi. I want to borrow one of those balaclavas. They look cozy.
No, Elvis. I would really suggest not doing that.
What? What's the worst that can happen?
They could cut your penis off?
Well, whatever. Ain't seen that thing since I discovered the KFC Double Down.
Elvis, don't.
Shh. Better talking, baby doll. Hey, guys. How's it hanging? Oh, they speak Texan. Hey, guys. How about you lend me one of those balaclavas? Oh, yeah, okay. You can have an autograph. And a selfie, fine. There you go. Now, I must be on my way. I'm gonna go blow up one of your pipelines. No way, I'm pushing the button. That's the best bit. Okay, I'm at the target.
Make sure you connect the detonator to the TNT correctly, or it will blow you up as well.
Yeah, what do you take me for, an idiot?
Sorry.
Now, what's a detonator?
The big red button in your left hand.
Oh, that's what that is. I've been using it as a coaster. Ooh, let me just wipe the bourbon off it.
You're drinking on a mission?
No. I was drinking before the mission.
Oh, whatever. Set the damn bomb and get out of there.
All right, chill out, baby doll. I got this. Okay, bomb is ready. Timer set to 10 minutes, and countdown has begun. Oh, crap, it's 10 seconds. Ah! Oh, that's close. Ain't moved that fast since the first time I heard about Wubba Wednesday.
Did I just hear mooing?
Yeah, that was a surprising amount of cattle in that pipeline control room.
Elvis, you blew up a cow shed.
Oh, well, at least now it smells delicious.
Just to clarify, no cows were hurt in the making of that piece, but we did really fuck up a cat. Next up tonight, it's time for rehab.
Welcome. Come in and take a seat. You must be Beth. I'm Keith Richards, and I'll be your addictions counselor.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. Weren't you in a band?
People tell me that. Don't actually remember. So what is it you are struggling with?
Well, I'm addicted to heroin. And McDoubles.
Jesus! How many McDoubles do you eat?
3 a day, but I'm actually more worried about the heroin.
But that shit will kill you! Didn't you watch Super Size Me?
No, I was too busy with the heroin.
Alright, fine. Seeing as you're so obsessed with the topic, let's talk about heroin. How often do you take it?
Lately, 2 times a day.
2 times a day? Wow, that was breakfast for me and Jimmy.
Well, I'm injecting it.
Duh, smoking it is for amateurs. I recommend simmering it on a low heat for an hour for best effects.
I didn't come here for tips, Mr. Richards.
Well, how am I meant to help a heroin hobbyist like yourself? If you're not taking it seriously, there is very little I can do to help you.
Hobbyist? I sold my left kidney for a dime bag.
Pfft, that is a shame. I could have got you an ounce for a kidney.
You're meant to be helping me get clean.
Yes, and when you come back with a real addiction, I might be able to help you. There is nothing I can do for a casual consumer like yourself.
Well, I'm also addicted to Starburst.
Oh my god, I had no idea. Jesus, I'm really sorry. I can get you a room in the clinic tonight.
Thank you so much.
Seeing as the front desk doesn't open till 4... We do have a few hours to kill, so fancy shooting up?
No, but I'd love a McDouble.
Oh, you need help, Beth.
Ah, Mr. Richards, the only person who is slowly decomposing whilst they're still alive. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are up to no good. All right, Carl, I've got our next target.
Awesome. What is it this time? A jeweler's or... a rich family's house? Or perhaps your brother's house?
Nah, we've already robbed him 3 times this year. He's starting to get annoyed. Now this time, we're going to rob airtight.
That's a plumbing supply store?
Sort of. It's a butt plug store.
Again with the sexual stuff? Why don't we rob a bank?
We tried that last week, and now I'm stuck with 4 litres of ejacula and some very soggy petty cash.
Fine. We'll steal the butt plugs. Again.
All right, we're in. Grab as many as you can.
Any particular kind?
Well, I like an assortment. I mean, my buyer wants an assortment.
Sure, mate.
Shit, Carl. You meant to disable the alarm.
I did.
Then why is it going off?
Well, I turned it back on. You know, for security.
Oh, no. Cops are coming. Quick, hide the merchandise.
Where?
You know where.
The things I do for you.
Cheer up, I'll let you keep your favourite. Oh dear, poor Carl. Don't worry though, I've done way worse things to make friends before. I once sat through an entire Celine Dion concert. I'd much rather have inserted several large objects up my rectum. Next up tonight, women are talking.
Damn, check out the ass on him.
I'd like to leave him sore in the morning.
Yeah, very spankable.
Hey, buddy, nice dong. What time does it stand to attention?
Pardon?
She wants to know if you're hungry because she has something for you to chow down on.
She's inviting me to dinner?
Sure, she'll buy you dinner. But then you have to eat pie for dessert.
And you owe her breakfast.
Nah, sleeping over is for pussies, right, my ladies?
Yeah!
Woo! Hell yeah! Once I'm done, I'm out of there. Tinder waits for no woman, am I right? Yeah!
Yeah!
Can I go home now?
No need to get so uptight, dude. We're just joking around. It's what chicks do. You just don't get it because you're a man.
Now, really, I find this objectification and disregard for my qualities besides my looks very unsettling. Just because these jeans make my ass look fantastic doesn't give you the right to talk about me like I'm a vacuous sex object.
Oh, shut up and go put up a shelf.
Oh!
That's right. Walk away. Go do something useful and open me a pickle jar, you tease.
It's tough being white and male. There's just too many advantages to choose from. Next up tonight is Fame Academy.
Good evening, and welcome to Fame Academy. I'm Hannah Lumley, and tonight I'm joined by Sally Himmler.
Hi, old Hannah.
So, Sally, what is it you're looking to become world famous for?
I want to be the world's most well-known Nazi sympathizer.
Uh-huh. And why the hell would you want to do that?
Well, Hannah, I have the perfect combination of a low IQ, an irrational fear of the unknown, and a bigot father who passed his finely tuned prejudices on to me.
I see. And what is it exactly you hope to achieve as a Nazi sympathizer?
Well, nowadays it's mainly a nostalgia-based hobby. I collect trinkets like Nazi gold, Luftwaffe planes, and Nazi napkins. That last one I just like saying.
Uh-huh. And have you had any backlash from people who may be offended by your ideology?
Ideology? No, I'm not a Nazi. I'm a sympathizer. I just feel bad for them. I mean, they lost in the end. Everyone loves an underdog, right?
But why not sympathize with someone a little less genocidal?
Because it's a lot harder to get noticed. If I was a cancer patient sympathizer, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I would not have an audience on a worldwide radio station. I'd be one of the billions of people all agreeing on the same thing with very little to say besides, yeah, cancer really sucks and we should probably do something about it. This way, I have millions of outraged people trying to desperately have me see their hate-filled replies to my internet blog entitled, Nazis. They were just trying to make things better. They just got a little carried away.
So it boils down to being an attention-seeking thing?
No. If I wanted unwarranted attention for evil deeds, I would just have to become a murderer. Or a Tory.
Well, we don't need any more Tories. That's all the time we have today. Join us next time when I'll be speaking to a man trying to eat his own face.
Thank you, Hannah and Sally. Be careful who you vote for, children, because your parents aren't. Next up tonight, someone is trying something new.
You gotta do Molly. Seriously, dude.
I'm really not sure about that, Kelly.
Come on, trust me. You'll feel fantastic.
But what about the next day?
Oh, sure. Then you'll be filled with self-loathing. But during, you won't be thinking about that.
But didn't that one guy, Dave, didn't he die doing Molly?
Yeah, but he didn't take the right precautions. You gotta drink lots of water, don't drink alcohol, and wear protection.
Okay, fine. But this is the one time.
I totally understand. Not that it matters. I'm pretty sure Molly will only sleep with you this one time, anyway.
I've never tried Molly, but I do enjoy the occasional Susan. Next up tonight, the Canadian Conservatives are having a campaign strategy meeting.
Okay, guys, the election has been called. We have 70 days until D-Day. What fresh ideas do we have to win this thing to keep the Harper dynasty in power?
I think our smear campaign against Trudeau is working. We have convinced the public he's too young. I think now we just have to also convince people Mulcair is too hairy.
Quite agreed, Gail. Any other ideas?
Well, I was thinking we find a quote by Trudeau trying to have, like, a balanced discussion about a sensitive topic and then place it in an advert completely out of context.
Genius, Penny Cheney. How is your father, by the way?
Oh, he's very good, thank you. He just came out of the hospital. He was having his horns filed down again. Couldn't get his ski helmet to stay on.
Well, that is the price of selling your soul to Halliburton. Any other thoughts, guys?
What about if we ran an ad where we talked about the things we are doing well?
Ken, could you come over here, please?
Sure.
Just stand there.
Here.
Nope, a little to the left. So you're over the trapdoor.
Okay.
Any other suggestions, team?
How about we have a live TV debate with other parties where the public are allowed to ask difficult questions relating to our 9 years in power?
Come stand over here, Barbara.
Always be careful of politicians, children. Anyone smart enough to run the country is smart enough not to try and do it. Next up tonight is a smash hit game show, The Grief Case.
Good evening, and welcome to a world premiere. From the people who brought you The Bachelor, Child Bride Edition, Survivor, Leprosy Island, and 2.5 Men. We present The Grief Case. Two families in desperate need of any support they can get due to harrowing circumstances and an ineffective government support system are paraded on TV for your viewing pleasure and then are told to decide whether to keep a briefcase with $100,000 or give it away to the other needy family. The twist? People will actually watch it. Let's meet your host, Damian Beelzebub.
Good evening, and welcome to all those listening at home. I know you're all sad when we stopped letting the Christians and the Lions fighting, but your patience has been rewarded with the opportunity to enjoy, once again, the human torture you have yearned for. Watch as we give away the equivalent of a week of my wages. Let's meet our first contestants. Our first family is the Dawsons from Flint, Michigan. The Dawsons consist of the mother, Amber Lee, a single mom to her 6 children, who I can't be bothered to name. There is no dad because he died in an industrial accident only 2 days after their last child was born. You can see why our producer picked this one. So Amber, how are you doing?
Oh, not bad. I just have to keep reminding myself I do love my children.
So, the money would make a difference to you guys, would it?
Yes, it's getting very hard to explain to my kids why they have to share one pair of shoes.
Why don't you just get a better job?
Because I live in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, fair enough. Sorry. Well, let's meet our other contestants. It's the Salisburys from Seattle. There is the mother, Cindy, father, Elliot, and their 3 kids. Elliot is a war veteran who lost all 4 limbs in an IED explosion in Afghanistan. And Cindy is legally blind and not a good listener. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sorry, what was that?
Never mind. So, Elliot, what would you do with the cash?
I would probably pay my medical bills.
And what else?
Nope, that's all I'm cover.
Ew, oh dear. Well, it's moments like these, I'm glad I'm immortal. And single. So you've both heard a little about each other. Clearly, both families haven't had the best of luck in life, but we want to know if you're jaded enough to hand over 0 of our money to the other family, or are you going to be the good Samaritans you wish all the rest of us would be to you? Anyway, write down on the piece of paper in front of you how much you're going to share and pass the answers to me. You have 15 seconds. Go! Okay, time is up. We have the answers. Firstly, the Dawsons have decided to share $2.50.
That won't even cover our bus fare.
Did we win, Elliot?
Okay, and the Salisburys decided to give away $100,000. Whoa, Jesus, what a bunch of suckers.
Right on, I'm rich.
Not really.
Woo, Mom's gonna get herself a new man and some new titties. Those 6 kids ruined the first pair.
What a beautiful ending to a heartfelt journey. Join us again for the next installment of Grief Case. Unless, of course, someone finds a conscience and we get cancelled. But that's probably not very likely. Well, I'm hooked on Valium. The Grief Case, on the other hand, was an assault on decency, which is why I loved it. Next up tonight, someone gets recognised. Excuse me, don't I know you from somewhere?
I don't think so.
I do. Weren't you in that film? The pizza boy, the plumber, and the pool cleaner all come at once.
No.
Oh, no, that's not what it is. You were my PE teacher, right? You were the one that was fired for impregnating a grade 7.
No.
Actually, come to think of it, that was probably a bloke. I remember now. You're that woman who stands on the street downtown and exposes yourself to traffic.
No, that's my sister.
Ah, but I'm getting close.
Oh, for God's sakes, Adam. Do you seriously not remember?
Oh, sorry. Of course. Did we have sex, didn't we?
I'm your mum!
Oh, that's why you didn't call me after.
I'm not worried about having an Oedipus complex. I'm far more worried about my octopus complex. That's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Ashley Fallis, Dor Tavi, Dottie Davis, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Alright, there you go. That was The White Noise Show, as always on CITR 101.9 FM. Coming up right after a bit of tunes is The White Noise After Show. And this week I'm joined in the studio by Connor Neckleput. How you doing, Connor?
Hey guys, hi Simon. Doing well, how are you?
Not too bad. So we're going to give you a little chance though first, just to go to the bathroom, do whatever you got to do. So this is a brand new track for our show. This is from a band called Fountain 2. Oh, and of course Sierra's in the studio as well. Hi Sierra.
Hi guys, happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you too, once I remembered you were here. this is Fountain 2 with Landline. I hope you like it.
Sound, proto vibrations, deep clamor, free resonance, primal buzz, and ecstatic dissonance with Victoria's free heat waves, Seattle's health problems, plus local favorites Peace and N213's group vision.
Wednesday, August 12th at the Hindenburg, presented by Hockey Dad Records and CITR.
getting my own way through my own day. And all I dare say is it's my own. I got my own seeds, I got my own weeds, I got my own harvest that I've sown. Now I can tell you things I've done, and I can sing you songs I've sung. But there's one thing I can't give, I and I alone can live. The years I've known and the life I've grown, I got a way I'm going, and it's my way. I got my own stakes in my own game. I got my own name, and it's my way. I got my own wrong, I got my own right, I got my own fight, and it's my way. I got my own peace, I got my own wrath, I got my own path that only I can go. I got my own sword in my own hand. I got my own plan that only I can know. Don't be sighing, don't be crying. Your day will come, your day alone. Years you'll know, and a life you'll grow. You got a way to go, and it's all on your own.
Director Bernard Shakey are the same person? Get to know the other side of Neil Young's creative genius with the Bernard Shakey Film Retrospective at the Cinematheque. The retrospective includes the Vancouver premiere of Human Highway, Journey Through the Past, and Greendale, as well as films by friends Jim Jarmusch, Jonathan Demme, and Hal Ashby. July 31st to August 10th, 1131 Howe Street. For more information, visit thecinematheque.ca.
All right, there you go. That was just Buffy St. Marie from Power in the Blood, and It's My Way. Yeah, she's really amazing. We just got her album in the studio, and I might actually play another one from that one later on because it is fantastic. All right, so I'm joined in the studio by the lovely Sierra Wiley and Connor Neckelpot. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great, Simon. How are you tonight?
Not bad, not bad. Did you guys, I guess you didn't quite catch the episode. You guys came in just
well,
at the end there.
So, I mean, yeah.
So what did you think of it then?
We know everything that we
Ah, yeah, but you haven't heard my fantastic effects. There are cows exploding. There is police alarms. Like, it, You have no, you know, you got to see.
It's a really typical day in the White Noise universe.
Yeah, you got to see it with the production values, the gun firing. I thought
we're really not seeing anything in it.
No, you don't. You guys think you see it, but it's all the magic that we add afterwards.
I hear it, and that's enough.
It's one of those like third eye things. So I get it.
All right then. So yeah, related to that, we always like to talk a little bit about things related to the show. So my first question is, you know, we were talking about holidays in the first sketch there. Where's the worst place you've been on holiday?
Connor probably
didn't answer that question.
He had a very fancy upbringing. I, on the other hand, came from a family of six children, so we went on a lot of budget trips. And I lived in New Jersey, so, you know, it's really budget. And one time, I wasn't actually sure if this was a nightmare or a real thing that happened, because when I look back on it, like, I don't know if it was actually real. But I just have a very strong... I must have been about four. And my older brother stepped in a hornet's nest. And I remember him sitting on the counter and getting his whole leg treated for bites. And then the TV we had, you know, one of those rickety old ones from like the 80s or something, there was just like, we moved it and there were a bunch of cockroaches that stream out from behind it. Oh. And that's why I'm like, Mom, I'm still not sure if this is a real place that we went to or not.
Oh, dear.
What hotel did you check into?
That sounds very horrendous. My worst one, I'd say, is it sounds like a nice place to go. We went to the Canary Islands, Grand Canary. And I managed to get salmonella, head lice, and like second-degree burns from the sun on my arms and shoulders. Yeah, I got salmonella from a place called the John Travolta Restaurant, which I think was named because the guy serving us had loads of chest hair. I think he was just like, John Travolta, yeah. But apparently some of it went in the food because, yeah, I got horrendous salmonella from
his
there.
Chest hair got in your food and you got salmonella from
his chest
hair.
It didn't feel clean and that's all I remember was just this dude's chest hair and then getting horribly ill.
And you didn't even get to eat cookie dough, so it wasn't even worth it.
No, I've had loads of cookie dough without getting salmonella.
Yeah, I think it's a myth, but one day it's going to come back to bite.
just don't, because with eggs, it's the shell has salmonella. So if you lick the shell... You might be in trouble, but as long as you don't get any shell in the food, you should be fine.
So if you eat caviar, specifically salmon caviar, you're almost a shoo-in to get salmonella.
I don't think it's the same thing, quite.
Salmonella,
I think we're talking
right?
We're talking about...
From the chicken.
Yeah, we're talking about coming out of the butt of a chicken, not something in water.
Are you sure it's... All right.
Well,
Connor knows
not really
exactly
the butt
what he's
of
talking.
The chicken, but the back area the of the joke. Chicken.
So without trying to sound too much like a... Yeah, check every single privilege I have because I have all of them. I was on holiday in Malaysia and we actually... And this is the worst part, is that the fact that we went on a holiday to this kind of like remote island for very much like a kind of a rustic kind of getaway, like very sort of technology-free and stuff. And the place was all right. It gave us a complimentary breakfast. There's like no one there, which to a lot of people sounds like great. Breakfast was shite. Think there were in the AC units, which were like nice to have because it's all like Malaysia very hot and this is like the summer. The ACs actually, when we turned them on, one of them sprayed out like a nest of ants onto my mum's head. Not my head, thankfully, onto my mum's head. And there was really just nothing to do there. So, yeah, to some people, that sounds like paradise. To me, because I'm spoiled and various other bits and pieces, I really had a bit of a rotten 2 days.
Yeah, it doesn't sound... Yeah, no, I mean, just because you said it was Malaysia, it sounds nice. But if you were like, we were in literally that sort of place in the middle of Chilliwack, we'd all go, that was terrible. So, yeah, no, I think that counts.
Okay,
I think you can get away with that one. All right, let's play another track and we'll come back for a little more chit-chat. This next one we're going to play is by Gene, and like two bars into this song, I was hooked. This is Buena Vista.
Head on to the morning coffee, head on to suicide. Minister for Magic, it gives me great pleasure to welcome each and every one of you to the final of the 422nd Quidditch World Cup. Let the match begin!
That's right, UBC has a Quidditch team and we're the fastest ones yet. Come join us at practice every Thursday at 5 and Sunday at 12 to show us your house pride. You can also get on our level with our Quidditch swag. We have bro tanks, t-shirts and sunglasses, all which go towards getting us to the World Cup. Not sure where to find the snitch? Well, like us on Facebook or check out our website at ubcquidditch.com and we'll be more helpful than you'll remember all. And remember, we want a nice, clean game from all of you.
All right, there you go. All right, so I'm back in the studio with Connor and Sierra. So our next question is, did you guys watch any of the political debates this week? We had two big ones. There was the Republican debate for the primaries, and then up here we had a Canada debate, which had all four leaders, didn't it?
It did indeed, yeah.
Sierra, why don't you tell us firstly about the Canadian one? How did that go?
All right, so this was a three-hour debate sponsored by the Maclean's magazine. And it had all four major candidates. So, of course, you've got Harper, you've got Mulcair, you've got Trudeau, and then you've got Elizabeth May. And it just had three-hour sort of bloodbath. Not really, it's Canada. But
maple syrup sort of sauna.
Yeah, pretty much. About as brutal as any Canadian debate is going to get. I'm sorry. I really need to cut back. Like, I need to cut in here, Mr. Prime Minister. But no, it was pretty interesting. So they talked about some main issues facing Canada today. So there's democracy, environment... I paid a lot of attention. No, I promise I did. There was the economy and I think energy. Yeah, and something a little.
So who won? Like who looked strongest there? I mean, how did the young Trudeau fare against the older competitors?
Well, everyone said that Trudeau did quite well. I thought so as well. And I saw online that Harper was declared the winner, but I didn't think so at all.
Yeah, well, they always do that. Because it just depends who you ask.
And there were, like, blatant places, like, five different times. And I only watched the first hour of it because it was getting quite late. But they were just like, nobody believes you. And they'd say it over and over and over. And even the moderators, like, that's not correct.
Really? They fact-checked him.
Yeah.
That's good. That's interesting. I watched.
And he still won.
Well, yeah, in whose eyes? I did watch the Republican debate. And that was fantastic. That was so funny. Because it was literally like Trump's sitting there at one end. And it was a bit hard to tell at times whether this was a debate between Republican ideas or whether it was just Republicans versus Trump versus Clinton. Because everyone seemed to just argue against Clinton the whole time, even though she's not actually been chosen yet. Though it does seem like a foregone conclusion, at least especially to the right. I mean, I'd love it if Bernie Sanders won, but... no one will vote for him because his hair's not perfect, basically. but Trump was hilarious because they kept trying to call him out on things. And, like, the moderators were just totally trying to cut him down. Like, it was clearly, let's get rid of Trump Day because they don't want him. Because they won't put him on the ticket because he won't win across the spectrum because he isn't playing the game. So he's... you know, people who vote Democrat are not going to come across to go vote for him. They want someone who looks kind of like they, you know, some Democrats might feel
like
they...
the most Democratic of all the Republicans.
Well, yeah, basically they want someone who, you know, that, which is why people like Mark Rubio and Jeb Bush are in high demand because Jeb Bush has an interracial relationship. You know, he's married to a Hispanic lady, so, you know, he has that appeal in their eyes to voters outside of their traditional white old man base.
It's sad how little you have to do to appear mildly Democratic. Like, marry someone interracial.
Yeah, but this
is like a satirical, like, it's a joke.
It is the Republicans who are. But it's hilarious because they're terrified of Trump because they don't want to put him on the ticket. But what'll happen is he's going to run as an independent and take like 20% of their vote voting away from them, losing them the election.
You know, it was really interesting. Like, speaking of taking away votes, like, they literally asked Elizabeth May, who's, of course, like, the Green representative.
Right.
They asked her if it was a waste, pretty much, to have Green votes because it was taking away from a party that might actually win.
Well, that, and that's, but that's because of our system and the way we run it, which is it's the first past the post. If it was a proportional representation system where basically you basically look at the entire voting of the country, and if 5% of the country voted Green Party, then in the House of Representatives, 5% of those seats go to the top Green Party representatives. And then there is no such thing as the wasted vote, as long as you're not voting for, you know, the raving loony party. Like, you have to... If you're voting
great.
For...
Great! Why would you want to vote for them?
That's a British thing. Just go on Wikipedia, you'll find out. But yeah, so, like, that's what Canada needs. And I'm hoping that if we had, like, an NDP Liberal coalition, that would be something maybe we'd talk about doing. Would be fantastic. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think it'd be really cool to have like sort of Green and NDP team up, because they honestly, like Mulcair and May were sort of in a very similar boat.
Even NDP and Liberal, you know, on the main things, which are like economics, social reform, they have a lot in common. I mean, I know the Liberals did vote for C-51, but they wanted a watered down version of it, which might be passable, you know, arguably.
This is the bill that was, like, rejected by the United Nations, like, Human Rights Watch, right?
Yeah.
Not that that means anything, but...
No,
like,
but it was... It's the Canadian Patriot Act, and, you know, I mean, it's scary how much we mirrored that, in that we had a, you know, tragic incident. For America, it was 9/11. For us, it was the shooting at the Houses of Parliament of the policemen. And like literally the next day, a couple of days later, there's this knee-jerk reaction that we need this huge security bill, which even in if it was in effect, doesn't actually seem to have, it doesn't seem to prove that it would have solved it.
Yeah.
So you know, it's very sort of dubious, and yeah, it is very 1984 sort of stuff about, you know, basically just giving up your rights for
people always say
privacy.
What was so bad about 1984?
Well, you know, it was a tough year. Anyway,
as far as I know, there were lots of punk rock bands out back then.
Yeah, which is
like
what
only be a good thing.
Shouting about how crappy things were. That's why it was cool. All right, we're gonna play another song and we'll come back. This is Cactus Flower and this is Red Bird.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
All right, there you go. That was Dark Glasses with Sun Drenched. I'm still in the studio with Connor and Sierra. We're nearly out of time, but let's have one more question. So my last question is the Rolling Stones. We mentioned them with Keith Richards this week on the episode, doing a bit of rehab clinic for us. So my question is, have the Rolling Stones just been doing music too long? Like, I feel like it's made them uncool. Like,